From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Alaska and nine other states have filed a lawsuit challenging President Joe Biden's vaccine mandate for federal contractors. The lawsuit claims the mandate violates state laws, including one the Alaska legislature adopted in April, that says no one has to provide justification or documentation to support a decision to not get vaccinated. Among the entities that would be considered federal contractors that would be subject to the mandate, the lawsuit mentions the Alaska Departments of Corrections, Health, and Public Safety, as well as the Alaska Railroad and the University of Alaska. The lead plaintiff in the case is the state of Missouri, and the lawsuit is filed in U.S. District Court for Eastern Missouri. All 10 plaintiff states are led by Republican governors. The Alaska legislature set a record on Thursday for the number of days that it's been in session in a year, 212. But that doesn't mean lawmakers have been in the Capitol lately. There's an impasse on what changes should be made to balance the state's budget in the long term. KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Senate President Peter Michicki has been away from home so much this year, his 7-year-old daughter Stella looks older.
She looked different when I got home. A 7-year-old changes a lot in 7 months. We've been gone a long time, and I don't feel like we have a lot to show for it. And I think it's because we keep trying to grind it out here with force in Juneau and the legislature, and that method is not working.
After the 121 days of the regular session, Governor Mike Dunleavy has called the legislature into 4 special sessions. The fourth must end by Tuesday. Lawmakers spent the bulk of their time in Juneau during the regular and first 3 special sessions, but nearly all have been home during this session. Michicki, a Soldotna Republican who is in Juneau, says senators needed time away from the Capitol.
You hear all these people sort of receding back into those camps, which tells me that this special session drove people apart. Our job as 60 legislators in the governor's office is to bring those people back together and get something done.
Michicki says he plans to talk to all 20 senators between now and the regular session in January, and his goal is to find enough common ground for legislation that can pass. Some of the senators in Michicki's caucus wanted the legislature to act on the agenda Dunleavy laid out for the session. Palmer Republican Senator Shelley Hughes says it's disturbing that the legislature is breaking the record for the number of days in session without passing more bills.
I'm frustrated and I'm embarrassed. Had we accomplished what we were set out, the task that we were handed, which is to settle the fiscal matters and fix the problem that's before us, then it's like, woo, you know, that many days, you know, not so great, but at least we got the job done.
Anchorage Democratic Representative Ivy Sponholz has been active this year, chairing the new House Special Committee on Ways and Means, considering long-term budget proposals. And the committee has remained active during the 4th special session.
I mean, it has been a tiring experience. We're supposed to be a citizen legislature with, you know, essentially a 121-day session. And we've now had 4 additional months tacked on to that, which has been, that's been a challenge.
Sponholz says Dunleavy is responsible for not engaging more with lawmakers.
It's the governor that's called all of these special sessions. And, you know, if the governor wants to get his legislative agenda passed, then I think it, you know, behooves him to, you know, participate in the process.
The cost for holding the ongoing sessions is adding up. The first 3 special sessions have cost an additional $1.8 million, according to the Nonpartisan Legislative Affairs Agency. And the preliminary cost for the 4th special session through Tuesday were another $125,000. Dunleavy says he's done what he could do.
The product that's going to come out of this session is zero, not a thing. And we all know that there's issues that need to be solved. And we provided the opportunity for those issues to be solved.
Dunleavy says some legislators have asked him to do everything.
Personally, I think the legislature should start looking at folks that can negotiate solutions to these issues. Right now, it just seems to be a whack-a-mole scenario where somebody comes up with an idea and somebody says it's not going to work, or we need more time, or we're tired, or we're waiting for springtime, or something.
Dunleavy says he won't call a fifth special session. He says it would be pointless. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
The $2 million in relief that Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings offered Juneau earlier this year is now reaching local nonprofits' accounts. This summer, Norwegian's initial offer went to the city and borough of Juneau government. The company said there were no strings attached, but most Juneau assembly members didn't like how that would look. Norwegian wants to build a new downtown cruise ship dock and needs the city's cooperation to do it. So instead, Norwegian sent the money out to a bunch of nonprofits in the community. Company officials did not respond to requests for comment, but the organizations on the receiving end did. They were grateful, and like the original offer to the city, they say there were no strings attached. Here's where the money went. The Juneau Community Foundation got half of it, $1 million. The foundation broke that up into 14 grants to local social service organizations. Among other things, it's going to help restock the Southeast Alaska Food Bank and fix up housing for people in crisis or experiencing homelessness. The foundation's biggest grant is for $500,000 to the campaign to build the Teal Street Center, which will be a hub for several social service agencies located next to the new Glory Hall building. Executive Director Amy Skillbred says the foundation prioritized organizations that serve basic needs: food, shelter, and mental and physical health.
They're the ones who get the stuff done in our community, so.
You can see the foundation's full grant list at ktoo.org. Two of the foundation's intended recipients are city government entities, Bartlett Regional Hospital and Capital City Fire Rescue. In both cases, the money is intended to buy vehicles for programs each one runs that try to reach vulnerable community members physically where they are before unaddressed needs become emergencies. After those Juneau Community Foundation grants, there's another $1 million of Norwegian's donations to account for. $800,000 went to the Greater Juneau Chamber of Commerce and Juneau Economic Development Council for local business relief. Board members of the two organizations are working on the particulars of how that will be spent. The last three donations go toward improving places cruise ship visitors are likely to visit. $100,000 went to Sea Alaska Heritage Institute for its Downtown Arts Campus project. Chief Operating Officer Lee Katinger says the main facility will be mostly finished by the beginning of December.
They just have been a great partner in the community and have been wonderful in ensuring their clients come visit Sea Alaska Heritage. So it's been a great mutual relationship working with them.
Other elements, like a covered outdoor performance area, were delayed because of fundraising concerns amid the pandemic. So Norwegian's donation,
it helps complete the bigger vision that we initially had.
$50,000 went to the Catholic Cathedral on 5th Street downtown. Father Patrick Casey says it's going into a campaign to renovate the building to make it wheelchair accessible. Casey also explained that some cruise ship passengers seek out mass services while they're in town. The church gives free rides from the docks to its services. Finally, $50,000 is also going to the new JAC partnership, which wants to replace the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. The current facility was originally an armory for the National Guard. In local COVID-19 news, state officials reported 30 Juneau residents with new cases on Friday. Three people were at Bartlett Regional Hospital with COVID-19. October was on track to be Juneau's second most infectious month of the pandemic, averaging a little under 23 new cases per day. Statewide, there were four new deaths from illness. They were all men and residents of Anchorage, Soldotna, and the Nome area. A key player in Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson's response to homelessness has resigned. John Morris, an anesthesiologist who has served as the city's homeless coordinator since July, confirmed he resigned in a text message. He declined any further comment. The news surfaced at a Thursday morning assembly work session about moving the city's largest homeless shelter out of the Sullivan Arena. The news seemed to take administration officials by surprise, including Chief of Staff Sammy Graham and Health Director Joe Gerace. It also left assembly members surprised as they questioned the administration about recent reports of violence and disorganization at the Sullivan. A private company, 99 Plus One, took over operations at the Sullivan last month. Assembly members also questioned where Morris's departure left its efforts to move out of the Sullivan, which has served as the city's emergency shelter since the pandemic began. Morris was part of a six-member group of administration representatives and assembly members working on a plan to move approximately 400 people out of the Sullivan. Another member, senior advisor Craig Campbell, resigned last week. Several other members of Bronson's administration who are involved with homelessness have also left recently. In Southeast Alaska, even the sky is dressing up for Halloween. National Weather Service predicts good aurora viewing opportunities across the panhandle this weekend. Federal meteorologist Caleb Cravens says a flurry of charged particles is tracking toward Earth as clouds from a terrestrial storm over the Gulf of Alaska move out of the panhandle.
First off, the Space Weather Prediction Center has issued a G3 geomagnetic storm watch, and that is in effect from October 30th through the 31st. We had a pretty large solar flare, and because of that, that is going to be giving us phenomenal aurora viewing conditions. And it just so happens to be paired with clearing skies, which is pretty rare here in Southeast Alaska that you get clear skies and the auroras.
In Juneau, the National Weather Service is forecasting mostly clear skies on Saturday and Sunday nights. Craven says the conditions on Halloween will make for one of the best aurora viewing opportunities so far this year. He says the best views will be in areas with a clear view of the eastern and northern skies away from city light pollution. But he says it's also worth looking skyward no matter where in the panhandle you are.
In this type of scenario, they're going to be so strong that they'll probably be overhead. And you, it doesn't really matter what direction you're going to be having to look.
Up-to-date aurora forecasts are available at the NOAA Space Weather Prediction Center and the University of Alaska Fairbanks Geophysical Institute. And that is the KTOO News Update for Friday, October 29th, 2021. I'm Jeremy Shea. Happy Halloween, and thanks for listening.